67 sueños,
67 dreams.
Estamos en la lucha,
switching up the scene.
Hella undocumented,
hella clean.
Migrant youth warriors,
with a little lean.
On March 10th, I went to Oscar Grant Plaza, where the East Bay Immigrant Youth Coalition organized Oakland's first Coming Out of the Shadows event. Here's more.
We are people. We are not illegal. What?
The day began with spoken word art and chants.
Undocumented!
And then undocumented East Bay community members took turns breaking their silence.
Mi nombre es Salvador Pérez. Soy indocumentado sin miedo y sin vergüenza.
My name is Ireri. I am undocumented, unafraid, unashamed, and I will no longer remain in the shadows.
The National Coming Out of the Shadows events began in Chicago in 2010, when undocumented youth declared themselves as undocumented and unafraid, and have taken place across the country since then. Francisco Romero is a member of the East Bay Immigration Youth Coalition.
People come out, they tell their stories about coming to the United States, their living situation, and they declare themselves as undocumented, unafraid, and unapologetic. This is in conjunction with, it's a nationwide event. Today it's in its fourth year. It originated in Chicago, so this is the first time it's happening in the East Bay. So we're happy to be a part of it. We're happy to be collaborating with other states across the nation today.
And what do you hope today's event will bring?
Well, what we hope is that we're bringing awareness today. Acts like this before, what they've done is that they've helped undocumented students gain access more so to higher education. It's helped to promote passages for in-state tuition, for example, in California, in-state tuition's in other states. It's helped to push forward the undocumented student agenda. But this event today is more so for parents, for older generations. We want them to come out and declare themselves undocumented and unafraid, just more so in the current climate of immigration reform and everything that's being talked about right now.
Given the current climate for immigration reform, what are the risks that are at stake with people coming out as undocumented today?
Well, there are many risks. There are risks that some people's employers or someone might recognize them, and obviously they can be employed after this, but there's people don't really necessarily have to give their full names. They can give a partial part of their names, or they can be semi-anonymous when it comes to coming out as undocumented unafraid.
Although today we'll see them coming out, we'll see them in person, right?
We'll see them in person, that's right, yes.
So they're willing to put it on the... Why do you think people are willing to put themselves on the line like that?
Because they just don't want to stay in the shadows anymore. They just want... They want to change for themselves, for their families, for their friends. They're willing to risk that for a cause.
And it sounds like in the previous years, the focus has been more on college students. So now are we talking about parents of the college students?
Yeah, now we're talking more about parents of college students, parents, people who are not eligible for state programs like deferred action or for tuition, for in-state tuition, those kind of programs that benefit younger generations. Today, we want to push more forward an agenda for older generations.
And when are you hoping to see some action on the level of policy in this country?
When do we hope to see action? That's a good question. You know what? It all comes down to what, you know, to what our politicians do, what our government does. But we hope that since this is a national, it's going to be televised, it's a national thing, they're looking at this and they're looking at people pushing towards something.
Hi everyone, my name is Julio. I am undocumented and unafraid, queer and unashamed. I'm from San Jose, California. This summer we're going to be offering classes for undocumented folks all over the Bay Area, so if you're interested, you can visit our website, thingsillneversay.org, for more information. This is a poem called Run. Run, faster than your feet can carry you. Run, dragging despair, fear, guilt. You turn on the engine and run. You call me Hispanic, a government term that does not, will not, cannot define me. And I will not be a subject in your research, means by which you seek to justify. I will not be controlled by your reason last, cannot be defined by your ethnic studies class. I won't dance for you, won't write for you, won't answer to you, for I will not be your salvation. You run my land to the ground, poisoned, torn, tarnished with my sweat, spirit, blood. You put on your sneakers and run my people to starvation. You pretend to understand, appreciate, relate, but you cannot erase sin. Run faster than my words can travel. You run faster than my truth can find you. Run. Thank you. Thank you. The second poem is for my grandfather. It's in English and in Spanish, so I apologize if you don't understand either one or both of those languages. But I know that what we're doing here transcends any border and any language. This is called Cicatrices. Abuelito did not like to see me crawling. A baby boy should not be reduced to moving around the floor como un perro. I should be carried, carried in the arms of my mother, my tías, or my grandmother. Arms that raised a generation, cooking, cleaning, sewing, and sowing, sowing seeds of never-ending strength in the innermost part of the children's souls. Abuelito reminded everyone everywhere that I am a man. Un hombrecito, the firstborn grandson of the family, I should not cry. A man should show no emotion of pain or suffering, for my cries were weakness in his ears. A baby boy calling for attention, I should be giving what I wanted, and what I wanted, the mujeres in my familia should already know. Carry me, feed me, change me, abuelita would say, for I should not cry. But for how long could the mujeres in my familia keep this brown boy from crying? For how long could they keep satisfying my every need to avoid disturbing abuelito's views of masculinity? Mi tía playing with a balloon does not see me crawling. Bumping into me, my arms disappear from under my body, and my chin comes crashing down into the cement floor that meets my face with pain and blood. I cry, cry so loud that abuelito is awakened, running toward her, belt in hand, ready to strike the culprit of my pain. Fue un accidente, my mother screams, the fire burning in his eyes. The first of many scars that adorn my body, mind, and soul. Abuelito, I am a man that cries, that feels and loves, a man that isn't afraid to hug other men or tell his grandmother just how much he loves her. Abuelito, I've cried a million times. I cried when I got into college. I cried when I'm happy or sad or when I laugh just a bit too hard. I cried during sleepless nights when I can't stand not being able to see my dad. I cried when that stupid guy broke my heart. When Tio Jaime passed, I felt the tears would never stop. I cried the first time you came to visit in this faraway land donde mil cicatrices me han marcado. Abuelito, I can't explain the emotions I feel when I feel the warm embrace of your body pressed tightly against mine. The stubble on my cheek, your tears rolling down your face. Abuelito, I can't explain what I feel when I hear the sound of your voice telling me how proud you are of the man that I've become. Thank you.
Undocumented! Undocumented! Undocumented!
We got some young folks over here. We're going to share some palabra with you, some spoken word. We're from a group called 67 Sueños. Check out our website. Check out the work we're doing. 67 Sueños was born out of this idea that a lot of young folks are left out of this immigration debate. That a lot of times the debate happens in Washington, it happens in college campuses, it happens in a lot of spaces that most undocumented youth right here in Deep East Oakland, East Oakland, West Oakland don't have access to, and no one's listening to their voices. So we wanted to create a group that was based in the community and based with high school age, underprivileged youth who are migrant youth and lift their voices. And that's how 67 Sueños were born. We've been very active and we are now micless, and that's cool. We're going to share a little spoken word for you to try to bring that to life. Can people hear me? Yeah, yeah. So one thing I want to ask is, this is spoken word. It comes from the same place as hip-hop. And hip-hop has a community aspect to it, and I feel a little too much distance right now. So can I ask y'all who are up there to just come a little closer and stand up just for a little while if you can? So we could give these young, these youth, our future, a little bit of a fire and your energy so they could get pumped and they could give you the same. Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right, all right.
Yeah. All right, let's get this done. All right. 67 sueños,
67 dreams,
estamos en la lucha,
switching up the scene,
hella undocumented,
hella clean,
migrant youth warriors,
little lean.
Another victim, another body, persona humana, mi gente sigue siendo torturada, maltratada, and killed on the border, the shit that separates my mother from my mother, brown people from each other.
Ya basta, esta violencia no se enoja, andan matando cuando, no se, cuando se le antoja. Rest in peace, Anastasio Rojas, latest victim of the brutal borders. Refresquemos la memoria, que conozcan tu historia.
Anastasio was a dreamer, believer, achiever, trabajando cada día como cualquier muchacho.
Padre o madre,
tenemos resistencia en la sangre, caminamos la distancia.
El migrante no se cansa.
A couple years later, he was raising 5 children with a beautiful woman que ahora vive sola por un crimen. Anastasio fue pisoteado, chingado y linchado. Este hombre ser humano fue abusado y maltratado y murió electrocutado. Mientras que Anastasio lloraba, la gente indignada gritaba.
Este hombre no hizo nada.
Anastasio no hizo nada.
El migrante no hizo nada.
67 sueños, Anastasio's dreams.
Estamos en la lucha.
Switching up the scene.
Hella undocumented.
Hella clean.
Migrant youth warriors.
A little lean.
El sol que alimenta la tierra cada día le quitó su vida. Era niña.
She was a farm worker, a daughter, a fiance, soon to be mother. She was an other.
Cargaba nuestro futuro en su vientre y cosechaba nuestro presente. En los campos crueles que torturaban a nuestra gente.
It was 107 degrees above decency. She had morning sickness recently. Labored 9 hours without rest or water. She was reliving the nightmare of crossing the border. Telling herself, I do this for my daughter. One hand on her womb and the other picking and pulling, aborting, abducting the fruit of this land that was once home to her people.
Solo la habían cantado 17 mañanitas. They called her muchachita, señorita. La llamaban migrante.
Le decían illegal.
Le decían wetbaggy alien. But her name was María.
Isabel.
Vázquez.
Jiménez.
So we wanted to lead a couple of quick chants with you two to keep the energy up and get this started. And compete with generators.
That's what's up.
So the first one, just to get the blood going, which we love to do. For those of you who don't speak Spanish, what we're saying is whoever doesn't jump is a member of ICE, and ICE and Border Patrol, okay? And it goes like this. El que no brinca es migra. El que no brinca es migra. El que no brinca es migra. You didn't know there was going to be aerobics out here, sir. All right, we got a couple more for you now that we got the blood pumping. This one, you just got to respond. ESCOM is wrong, we will fight. Can you say that? ESCOM is wrong, we will fight. Cops and ICE are way too tight.
ESCOM is wrong, we will fight.
Healthy families is the right.
ESCOM is wrong, we will fight.
Stealing fathers in the night.
ESCOM is wrong, we will fight.
Take my mama out of sight.
ESCOM is wrong, we will fight.
Cops and ICE are way too tight.
ESCOM is wrong, we will fight.
Healthy families is the right.
ESCOM is wrong, we will fight.
They're stealing fathers in the night.
ESCOM is wrong, we will fight.
They took my mama out of sight.
ESCOM is wrong, we will fight.
Cops and ICE are way too tight.
ESCOM is wrong, we will fight.
Healthy families is a right.
ESCOM is wrong, we will fight.
Woo! We'll leave you one more that we just love, love, love to scream out as loud as we can. We'll do it in English first, then in Spanish. And just follow it when you hear what? Repeat what we say.
We are people. We are not illegal. What?
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 So, mos gente. No soy diferente. What?
So, mos gente.
No soy diferente. What?
So,
mos gente. No soy diferente. What?
So, mos gente. No soy diferente.
So, mos gente. No soy diferente. What?
So, mos gente. No soy diferente. What?
Thank you, y'all. We're going to pass it on. Thank you. Give some love for these young folks from 67 Sueños. And keep that energy high.
How y'all doing? We're the East Bay Immigrant Youth Coalition. We're an undocumented youth-led organization based in the East Bay. We do a lot of work around immigrant rights on different focuses. Today we're here to join forces with a diverse group of undocumented youth organizations here in our own Bay Area. It's time for the Bay Area to step in the movement that is rising really quickly right now with immigration reform. This is our way to stand up and give the Bay Area a voice that the Bay Area should have. So this is the first step. This event, this Coming Out of the Shadows event, is the first step for us as Bay Area to have a say nationally what gets to happen with immigration nationally. That's a little bit about us. En español es hola, somos la Coalición de Jóvenes Inmigrantes. Somos una organización liderada por jóvenes inmigrantes en el este del área de la Bahía. Hacemos diferente trabajo con la comunidad. Este es el primer evento donde queremos darle una voz al área de la Bahía en torno a lo que está pasando nacionalmente con la reforma migratoria y con cualquier otra cosa que pase con inmigración. Estamos aquí para educar y para proteger a nuestras familias, no tan solo darle voz a los jóvenes inmigrantes, pero también a los papás, como bien ven aquí. Somos una comunidad diversa. No tan solo estamos dándole la voz a nuestros jóvenes, pero también a nuestros papás, que son los primeros soñadores. They are the first dreamers. We are the product of them. So, without further ado, I present you with our first speaker, Ireri Lora. Hello!
My name is Ireri Lora, and I am undocumented. I was born in Mexico City and came to the U.S. when I was 8 years old. I arrived to Oakland, California with my parents and two younger siblings in 1993. My first year in this country was lived in fear as my community experienced the panic created by Proposition 187. My parents taught me and my siblings never to talk about where we were born. I grew up always hiding that part of my identity. I learned never to speak about my status because I believed my silence would protect us. I spent my high school years focusing on academics and lying to friends and teachers about things like why I couldn't travel or get a driver's license. I thought that as long as I was a good student and got good grades, I wouldn't look suspicious. In 2006, that silence no longer protected my family. One morning, I received a phone call from my mom in tears saying ICE had come to our house and arrested my dad and took him to a detention center. My dad was deported a few days later, and my mother and siblings had no other choice but to leave because my dad was the head of our household. Even though I wanted to leave to be with my family, I stayed. Just a month before my dad got deported, I had gotten married, and I was halfway through college. The last time I was able to see my family, they reminded me of all the sacrifices they had made to get me there. The next 2 years were extremely difficult. My brother passed away in Mexico, and I wasn't able to see him again. I attempted to continue living in silence, trying to honor my parents' sacrifices by pursuing my education. But in 2008, as I was walking on my way to school with other students, I was stopped by Border Patrol agents. They stopped me on the street and asked to see my ID. At that moment, I realized that silence would not protect me, and I had to speak up. I asked the Border Patrol agents why they weren't asking other students around me for their IDs. They didn't answer my question and continued to ask for mine. So I warned them that if they continued insisting, I would contact an immigrant rights organization and accuse them of racial profiling. All they could say was, "Have a nice day." And I was able to walk away. That was one of the scariest moments of my life. But I realized that speaking up overpowers fear. We cannot continue to remain silent while families are being separated by unjust laws. We cannot let our communities be paralyzed by fear. Silence doesn't change policies. Silence doesn't stop deportations. Silence doesn't protect families. That is why now I am here with the East Bay Immigrant Youth Coalition to stand with my community and make our voices be heard. My name is Ireri. I am undocumented, unafraid, unashamed, and I will no longer remain in the shadows.
Undocumented! 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 No papers!
No fear!
No papers!
No fear!
No papers!
No fear!
All right, y'all, let's keep it moving. Up next, we have Jesus.
Buenas tardes. My name is Jesus Ruiz, and I'm undocumented. In 1990, at the age of 4, my parents decided to give me and my sister a better future and a better education. So they decided to immigrate to the United States. 7 years later, my parents decided to come out of the shadows, so they hired an immigration attorney to get us legal papers here in the United States. But it was a lie. The lawyer just stole money from us, and it ended up with us having a deportation order against us. In 1998, an immigration judge signed a paper saying that we had to leave the country at a certain day and a certain time. I was only 11 years old at that time. My parents, knowing that leaving the country would deprive us from this great education this country had to offer, they decided to stay here and go back into the shadows. In 2004, I graduated high school, and my dream was to join the military, but I was unable to do so because of my status in this country. In 2008, one morning, it was a Tuesday, we got a knock on the door. It was ICE. They came to pick me and my family up because they came to enforce that order of deportation that a judge had signed 10 years before. I'd never been in jail before. I'd never been convicted of anything before, and I was a high school graduate. 24 hours later, me and my dad were in Mexico already. A country that I do not know, a country that I do not know the politics in, and a country that I feel like an alien in. After being there for 3 months, I realized that I didn't want to be there anymore. I needed to find my way back home, even if it meant I had to sacrifice my life just like my parents did. So I did just that. But before I took my journey, I kissed my father and my mother goodbye and embraced that moment because I knew that that might be the last time I might ever see them again. A few weeks after, I was back home here in the United States. 4 years later, ICE came into my workplace again and picked me up again. They said they wanted to deport me again because they found out I came back to this country illegally. Still, I had a stable job. I was paying taxes, but they didn't care about that. They just wanted to get me out of this country. But this time, I wasn't going to make it so easy on them, so I decided to stand up and fight. I stood up and fight for what I thought was right, and I'm standing up and fighting for what I think is wrong. So, they put me in a detention center for 3 months. In the time I was in the detention center, I saw everything that you could see in there. That's where the real pain is of all the immigrants, because those people are one step away from never seeing their family again without either one of them having to sacrifice their life again to see them. 3 months after I was released from jail, thanks to the help of the community and my lawyer, ICE felt the pressure that the people were giving them to release me because I wasn't a criminal and I'm a dreamer. Now, they decided to release me, but I still carry an ankle bracelet on me, which every time I charge it, it's a reminder that I'm still in the risk of getting deported any day. So I'm out here today to share my story, and I'm out here today to let everybody know that as long as I'm still alive, I'm still going to keep fighting. This is not about me. This is about all of us. Yo soy la voz para todos los que están encarcelados ahorita injustamente. Yo soy la voz para todos los que han sido deportados. Y estoy aquí afuera porque I'm unashamed, I'm undocumented, and unafraid.
Buenas tardes a todos. Mi nombre es Salvador Pérez y vine en 1990 de México, Distrito Federal. En nuestro país no hay muchas oportunidades de trabajo y no hay una educación estable de tener una mejor vida en México. No estamos aquí por gusto, sino por necesidad.
Es difícil venir a un país donde uno no es aceptado, pero aquí estamos y aquí seguiremos. Cada día de nuestras vidas tenemos que luchar mucho más para mantenernos debajo del radar, manteniéndonos en las sombras, y el cual ha sido el resultado. Millones de nuestros hermanos y hermanas han sido separados injustamente de sus familias. Lo peor es que nos hemos dejado. Hemos vivido en este país en las sombras por bastante tiempo. Hemos seguido las leyes que nos imponen al pie de la letra. Nos han arrestado, encarcelado, hemos sido desagradados de nuestra indignidad y nos han tratado como animales. Mi motivación para venir a este país es para darles una mejor educación a los hijos y que tengan un porvenir en el futuro para ellos. No tan solo en lo material, sino también las fuerzas para defenderse por ellos mismos. Esa misma motivación es lo que me impulsa en este día presentarme aquí frente a todos ustedes y recordarles: el miedo lo dejamos en la frontera. Estoy aquí para decirles y recordarles que por el simple hecho de estar aquí demuestra nuestra valentía y el hallazgo de dejar todo atrás. Arriesgamos nuestras vidas, nos arrancamos parte de nuestra cultura, nos enfrentamos a lo desconocido y ahora es el momento de enfrentarnos otra vez que nos llaman criminales. Hago un llamado a todas las personas indocumentadas para que se unan al movimiento y nos ayudemos los unos a los otros, para que el gobierno sepa que ser indocumentados, pero demandarnos y tenemos derechos humanos. Siempre recuerden que la unión hace la fuerza y ahora es cuando debemos demostrar mucha fuerza. Mi nombre es Salvador Pérez, soy indocumentado sin miedo y sin vergüenza.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Putri and I am undocumented. My parents and I moved to the United States when I was 11 from Indonesia. My parents never told me anything about my immigration status, but they gave me hints. They gave me hints that I should follow the Dream Act on the TV. They gave me hints to skip school and go to the May Day in 2006. But it was not until high school when I realized how being an undocumented actually affects my life, to just become a student, to achieve my dream, to go to school, to go to higher education. But then I found Aspire. 2 years ago, it was in March 2011 that I found Aspire, and they told me about this coming out National Week, like today. And I knew at that time that I need to do something. That week, I need to say something. Out of nowhere, I was like, maybe I should tell my government class about my immigration status. And that's what I did. One day, one morning, I asked my professor, my teacher, hey, can I make an announcement in class today? And he said, sure. Before saying what I was going to say, in my mind, I ran through so many scenarios. What should I say? What should I do? What should I tell my friends? And in the back of my mind, my parents told me, you're not supposed to tell anyone about your immigration status. They would tell on you. They would deport you. But in that morning, screw it. You know what? I have to say something. So I stood up. And then I said to my friends, hey guys, I don't have paper. Their faces was like, what are you talking about? You know, like you have paper, you go to school. That moment, that was my first and last time to say that I am illegal immigrant. Now they finally realize, oh, that's what you're talking about. Since that time, my friends and my teachers, they started to support me and keep asking me, how are you doing? Are you okay? Is everything okay with your immigration? They're getting to understand how it feels like to be undocumented. And then since that time, I finally learned that sharing my story is healing myself. It's a way to make me feel, to make me accept that identity, that I am undocumented. And a way to educate people that it's also an Asian, Pacific Islander issue, not just Latino issue. Sharing my story is breaking the stereotypes that even the model minority, it has a problem. That we are also undocumented. We are sharing the same problem, the same obstacles like everyone. And I am a human being. I'm a complex human being. I'm not just an undocumented. I am a student. I'm a volunteer. I'm a dancer. I'm a what? I'm a teenager too. Well, maybe this is my last year being a teenager. But, you know, I am not just an undocumented. And being undocumented is not a disadvantage. It's empowerment. Empowerment. So my name is Putri. I am undocumented, unafraid, unashamed. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Putri, and I'm 19 years old right now.
Let's go over here.
19-year-old Putri is originally from Indonesia. 2 years ago, in spite of her parents' warnings to stay quiet about her undocumented status, she decided to speak out at school. And that is when she says her family's healing began.
I'm here today to speak about my story and how immigration is not just a Latino issue, and we need to come out of the shadow to show the faces and the stories of those 11 undocumented immigrants that is in this country right now.
And so you talked about standing in solidarity with Latinos, making sure that we know it's not just a Latino issue. And in your case, you're Indonesian. You shared a story earlier about coming out to your classmates as undocumented. Tell me about that day.
I think it was one of those last day of the week. And I've been rethinking about what should I do for this national coming out week in 2011. But I knew that I need to do something. And because in the government class, we talk about U.S. government and how there's a lot of civil disobedience and all of the rallies happening for civil rights. So I felt like maybe that's the class that I need to speak out to. And out of nowhere, I decided to do it.
So you did that in 2011, so 2 years ago. How has your life changed since you did that?
since that time, I've been sharing my stories with Aspire, the first undocumented student group here in the country, and we are based in San Francisco. So me and Aspire, we've been facilitating workshops that to show that it's not just a Latino issue, it's an API, and we share our API stories for people.
What does Aspire stand for?
Aspire stands for Asian Students Promoting Immigration Rights Through Education.
And how many members do you have in your organization?
We have about 30 people right now, but we are growing and we are really open to everyone, especially API students, because I feel like there's not enough space for API to come out, and we share a lot of common ground and share a lot of experiences, obstacles as an API and also as an undocumented student.
And so earlier you said you were 19 years old and you said you were so scared about what your parents would think if you told people about your status. So how have your parents responded to you after doing this?
Now they're supporting me. My parents and I were in deportation last year, and after we were put in deportation, I said, okay, even without me sharing my story, they already put us in deportation, so why not just share our stories more and, like, you know, coming out of shadows actually helped me, you know, getting to accept myself and also to make my parents feel more comfortable. So after that, my parents are, like, really supporting me. They come out to the rally today, my mom at least, and they're really agreeing for me to do this stuff. And last year, in December, Aspire and I released an online campaign called Our Families Matter, and it's for my parents and another member's family who were facing deportation. And so in January, we had a rally for the campaign, and my parents were there, and also it's showing that, you know, API is starting to come out as well as a family. And I think it's in the same kind of situation for all communities out there for undocumented, yes.
And so when you said my family and I were put on deportation, what do you mean by that?
Yes, we were in deportation. We had a deportation date of December 31st, 2012. But luckily for last summer, President Obama announced the deferred action, right? So I applied for that and I got the deferred action this year. So my case is referred to for 2 more years. And my parents, who also had a deportation date, because I was eligible for deferred action, mm-hmm. my lawyer kind of put a petition that, look, their daughter is here to stay because of DACA. Why are you separating this family apart? And that's one of the causes that my parents are still here, that we need to keep our families together. And that's the most important thing, I feel, for immigration.
So when you say you were put on deportation, you mean that the government identified your family,
yes.
they sent you a letter or something
yes.
like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so on a final note, what message do you have to people in the API community, the Latino community, about standing in solidarity with each other? And then what message do you have to the broader community?
For my API community, it's time to come up. Your voice is a powerful thing, a powerful tool to organize, to empower yourself, and to do something for the community and abroad. And immigration is not a small issue anymore. It's a broad issue. It's a great issue with 11 million people behind it. And it's not people that you can recognize because of the color of your skin. Because sometimes even white people from Europe are undocumented here. And so, you know, this time, accept it or not, we're here and we're staying. And we will fight to the end.
Thank you very much. Jennifer Carrubios was at the rally not only to stand in solidarity with family members who've been deported back to El Salvador, but as an ally to undocumented people from all backgrounds.
I'm part of UCEO, La Unión Salvadoreña de Estudiantes Universitarios, the Salvadoran Union of University Students. And I am a representative of the chapter at UC Berkeley.
And why is this You were talking earlier about how Salvadorians have come into this country because of a war that the U.S. helped fund. I think a lot of people don't understand the history, but why is it particularly important to that population?
The Salvadorian population is relatively new to this country. Starting in the late 70s and 80s, Salvadorians started migrating to this country fleeing a war that the U.S. funded because of this fear of communism spreading to the rest of Latin America. They funded the military nearly $1 million a day and suppressed a lot of resistance in our country. People fled not only from the resistance, but just in general, because the military was killing millions of people, well, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, disappearing people left and right. And when Salvadorians migrated to this country and other places around the world, they were denied refugee status. And from that, we still have a lot of undocumented people from that era, people on temporary protection status from the 90s, which is still a legal limbo, very similar to the deferred action program that has just recently passed. We have people still on TPS since 20 years ago.
And tell our listeners what TPS means.
It's temporary protection status, which also extends to some Central American countries. We had people fleeing in the 2000s because of massive poverty in El Salvador. Dollarization in El Salvador, which really hurt the country. They changed from their bill to the dollar, which only facilitated it for the U.S. government.
And what's your personal stake in standing in solidarity on this day? Why are you so invested in the issue of fighting for undocumented rights?
Well, that comes from, I guess, my own personal story with that. You know, a lot of my family members are undocumented. Some already have been deported. And myself as a citizen and as an ally, you know, I think it's my duty to fight for them and push them to come out of that fear and like this event today, coming out of the shadows, and push for political change, because it's affecting all of our communities, not just the Salvadoran community.
Thank you. Same questions for you.
Hi, my name is Balmora Membreño, also from UCEO, the Salvadoran University Student Union. And I mean, the reason why it really affects our community, well, it hurts, you know, like seeing everyone in our community, like our own families who do not have, you know, papers. They are really affected by it in so many ways, like from the psychological level, and the youth who pretty much have limited, very limited options to go to college, and they kind of give up on that, you know. So it hurts to see people just kind of like shut down because of that, because of they don't have the resources, because of this, they don't have like the legal status, right? So in the case of my family, in other ways that we have been affected is, you know, like we are limited in terms of like where we can go, like what we can do.
Because you have family members who are undocumented.
Exactly, yes. So in 2006, my grandpa died, right? So my uncle, he loved my grandpa, but because of he didn't have papers, he couldn't go and see him for the last time. And you know, it's things like that really affect our families, especially, you know, like it hurts. Just imagine yourself not being able to go and see your dad for the last time, just because you don't have the papers to go. You could have the money, you could have anything, but if you don't have the papers, then you're stuck in the same place. And that shuts down people. Other ways in which that affects us, like psychologically, like I said before, especially for the children, when they are fearful that they are gonna come one day and that they're gonna take their mom away, you know, like the poor him or her, like, you know, our parents basically, like, and what are they gonna do after that? Like, they pretty much stay there stuck as well. So it's just different ways in which we are being, you know, well, we, you know, say terrorized, because at the end, that's what it is, because we just wanna have a normal life, work, you know, like we just wanna advance as well, just like anybody else, but we are limited. And you know, that's being done intentionally, because there is things that they can do to improve this situation, but they're not doing it, so that's injustice.
So why don't you leave our listeners with a final message about anything you'd like them to remember and keep in mind as we acknowledge this annual event?
I think that one of the things that we all have to remember is that we can all make a difference. You know, like if we relate to the struggle of anyone, whether there is an undocumented, an immigrant, Latino, Black, whatever, you know, like we all struggle. And we need to understand that. And so once we understand that, we need to take action. And it is by coming to events like that, you know, talking to people, disseminating information. So I just want to ask, I guess, you know, to the audience here, take action. You know, like once you hear this, you know, just process it and come out, you know, like just come out, help, join the meetings, join groups, try to, you know, make a difference, because at the end, you know, we're all powerful and we do make a difference at the end.
Okay, this is Jennifer again. She has to do one more shout out for something that's coming up.
The Salvadorian Student Organization is also working on a campaign to encourage Salvadorians or children of Salvadorians born in the U.S. to vote in the 2014 elections. We are pushing registration becoming nationalized within the next couple of weeks, so you are legally a Salvadorian citizen, and that way we can push for change in El Salvador from here.
So this means, if you're living here as a permanent resident in the United States, or if you have dual citizenship, you're saying that they should still be voting in El Salvador. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you can vote from here. You can send in a mail-in ballot in 2014, but we have to register now.
And why is it important to do that?
Just because El Salvador depends a lot. I think it's almost a third of their income relies on families here, remittances. And a lot of Salvadorians here are still connected to families and neighborhoods in El Salvador. It's important to push for political and economic change in our country, just because it's a transnational community.
And how do they register? Where do they go to do that?
You go to your local consulate. So in the Bay Area, it'd be the San Francisco consulate. That's on 507 Polk Street in San Francisco. And you would need your birth certificate, your parents' birth certificates, and that way they request a birth certificate to be sent from El Salvador here.
Great, thank you for adding that. Okay. All right, good luck, you guys.
We are people, we are not illegal, what?
We are people, we are not illegal, what?
Somos gente, no soy diferente, what?
Somos gente, no soy diferente,
what? Somos gente, no soy diferente, what?
Somos gente, no soy diferente.
Somos gente, no soy diferente, what?
Somos gente, no soy diferente,
what? Thank you, y'all. We're going to pass it on. Thank you. Give some love for these young folks, 67 Sueños. And keep that energy high.